We left off last time on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. We're actually a whole new sugya, but it's built off the last thing we mentioned. The last thing we mentioned was, this is very heavy, by the way. It's like I have to lift weights for this thing. The last thing we mentioned was that, I don't think it's going to reach there, is that a person can do something called good usik. We suggested this idea, good usik, which means you have walls underneath you, and we looked at them as if they're imaginary virtual walls that go above you. The Gemara had a case of an amud. When you're standing on an amud, that's 10 tefachim high, which means that they have, by definition, they have walls going up 10 tefachim to reach the top of the platform. You're standing on that platform, and the platform itself is at least 7 by 7 tefachim, and where you're standing from until the schach is less than 20 amos. So the question was, will that count to act as virtual walls for you using the concept of good asik mechitza, which means the walls that are beneath you, we look at them as traveling upwards towards the schach, and you're standing in an area, again, that is 7 by 7 tefachim at least, and therefore we would be able to be within 20 amos. Abayi said that should work, and Rav rejected and said you need mechitzos, nikaros, and we're lacking in those. Yeah.
Rav doesn't knock out the whole concept of good asik.
No, just in this case where there are no good asik works when you have mechitzos, nikaros, and there are no mechitzos, nikaros in our context. That's what the Gemara rejected Abayi. Now, in that vein, Tan Rabbanan, about 8 lines on the top of the Gemara, Dal Mabez. I didn't count them, but I guess it's 9. What's that? 11? 10. Okay. Tan Rabbanan. Nuts. That wasn't that bad. Nuts arba kundisen. V'sikir al gaban. So if you basically, nuts is like you stick in the ground. You implant in the ground 4 kundisen, which are 4 pillars. And we'll see, the Gemara will describe them being round, 4 round poles. And you put schach on top of these round poles. And there are no walls, just poles, 4 poles, and you put schach on top of them. Rabbi Yaakov Machshir the Chum post, and Rabbi Yaakov says that should be kosher, and the Chum said such a sukkah is not kosher. Now, that discussion here, the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Machlokas and the Amoraim had explained this b'raisa. Amr of Huna, Rahuna suggests, Machlokas, Rabbi Yaakov and the Chum argue whether it's kosher or not, daf, if it's al sfas hagag, what is on the edge of the roof. I mean, you have a roof, and the roof has obviously walls of the house going up to the top of the roof. I put my 4 kundisin, my 4 poles, I attach them to the 4 corners of the roof, let's say. And therefore, if you would go flush against the house, we're suggesting through the vehicle of good asik, the Marz is right now, Rabbi Yaakov Savar, Amrina good asik mechitza, we're going to say the walls of the home can travel upwards beyond where they end off on the roof and go up to the schach. And that acts as my virtual wall, good asik mechitza. Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan would say we don't say either in this case or at all potentially, even though it's very hard to believe because it is a concept. We assume halacha moshe misina, good achis, good asik, I assume it's the same thing. But the Rabbanan over here are going to say we don't say good asik mechitza, at least in this case. This is what Rabbi Yaakov says. However, aval be'emtza gag, but had it been not hugging the edge of the roof, but rather smack in the middle of the roof, there's no means to have, there's no walls here at all, it's just poles. There's no ways to have virtual walls. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yaakov, everyone agree, even Rabbi Yaakov would agree that such a mechitza doesn't exist, and therefore no sukkah is not considered a sukkah, and everyone agree it's possible. That's Rabbi Huna's explanation of Rabbi Yaakov versus the Chacham. Rav Nachman suggests, no, in fact, be'emsa gag machlokas. The machlokas exists be'emsa gag. So if you look over here at my trusty board, you have over here not dal kundisin. The first part is the case when you stick 4 poles in the ground. Machlokas Rabbi Yaakov and the Chum. Rabbi Yaakov says it's kosher, and the Chum says it's pasul. Now, what that case is a machlokas. Rav Huna says that case is only by the svas agag, the edge of the gag. But had it been be'emsa agag, it wouldn't work according to Rabbi Yaakov either. Rav Nachman says be'emsa agag. Machlokas be'emsa agag. What we don't know now is what's the story al svas agag according to Rav Nachman. Now we care about this, I think, most because we pass like Rav Nachman, I think. Says the Gemara, Ibailu, the question was asked to Rav Nachman, or in the base mentioned by them, about Rav Nachman's case. Be'em sagag machlokes, al svas sagag diver kol ksheira. What do we say that be'em sagag is machlokes? But we can deduce from there that they argue be'em sagag, but certainly had it been al svas sagag using good asik mechitza, even the Chum would agree that it's kosher. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps we'd suggest, being zu, be'em zu machlokes. That in both cases, it's machlokes both al svas sagag and be'em sagag. Now we can't figure out Why be machlokas on both of them? Meaning, what's the machlokas be'emsa agag? We don't know that yet. We'll see later on. But whatever the Gemara be'emsa agag is machlokas, you'd assume asfas agag would be more likely to be kosher. Rabbi Yaakov certainly felt that way. Where there's machlokas there, and everyone agrees be'emsa agag is not kosher. And the svar would be, do we say good asik mechitza? That's the svara, machlokas. But be'emsa agag, we can't figure out any means to suggest that it's actually kosher. But when you get to be'emsa agag, according to Rav Nachman, he suggests there's a machlokas. And al svas agag, we don't know what he says. Meaning, what happened was we had a discussion. Rav Huna said one thing. Rav Nachman argued what Rav Huna said. He argued regarding his statement that everyone agrees be'emsa agag is possible. Rav says, no, I think they argued. Now the question is he saying they argue be'emsa agag, and also he agrees with the first thing that Rav Huna said, which is they argue al svas agag? Or he says, no, they argue be'emsa agag, and divrei kol, al svas agag would be kosher, and the Gemara ends in a take, we're not sure how to resolve that. It's our first take with the Masechta, right? Take. Okay.
Now, why is it going on with Masechta?
Because
Rabbi Yaakov would allow it in the middle. Why isn't it for sure?
It would be for sure. Rabbi Yaakov for sure allows it at the end. The question is, would the Chacham allow it at the end? Meaning, definitely Rabbi Yaakov would allow it in the end as well. The question is, would the Chacham agree on Tzvas Agag? Would they agree because of good Asim Mechitza? They were sick to their guns in the middle of the Gag and the end of the Gag with the same lack of Sukkah is the question that we have right now. Now again, we'd assume that good asik only exists be'emz be'tzvas agag, but that doesn't mean the chacham agree. Maybe the chacham don't say it's okay either for that reason. But Rabbi Yaakov certainly would say if be'emz agag is kosher, certainly al-tzvas agag is kosher as well.
And we don't understand how Rabbi Yaakov will allow to Rabbi Nachman.
Be'emz agag? Well, I don't. The Gemara will say later on we'll understand, but not yet. We don't know. But whatever the answer is, be'emz agag certainly al-tzvas agag. It's no worse. If anything, it's better. The question is it good enough that the chacham would say it's not good, but it's be'emz agag? Would they agree with svas agag or not? And the Gemara doesn't answer. The Gemara calls it a tekum. Meisve, a new case now, is going to kind of shed light on who is right, Rav Nachman or Rav Huna, and also potentially shed light on our discussion about be'emz agag or svas agag. Meisve, says the Gemara, we have a kasha. Na zal kundisin ba'aretz. A very similar case, but instead of being on the roof, it's in the middle of your courtyard, middle of your backyard. So you have no edges of a roof that you're kind of piggybacking on. It's smack in the middle of your yard. And you stuck four poles in the ground. And you put schach on top. Rabbi Yaakov Machshir, the Chacham posts them. Rabbi Yaakov says, that's enough. And the Chacham say, definitely not okay. Now the Gemara makes a diuk now. But the land, meaning your backyard, with no good asik potential to be had, because there is no roof it's piggybacking off of. That must be like emsa agag. Dummy, meaning it's similar to emsa agag. Become Machshir Rabbi Yaakov. And Rabbi Yaakov says, it's okay. Now, if you remember, we had earlier on, Rav Huna said, there's only a machlokes b'svas agag, but be'emz agag, everyone agrees it's not kosher. We see explicitly over here that Rabbi Yaakov would allow b'karka, be'emz haaretz, which is the same thing as emz agag. Ba'aretz is be'emz agag, in that neither one has any sort of good osik possibilities. They're right in the middle of an area. There's no piggybacking off of any virtual walls. And clearly, this becomes a tiyufta, the Rav Huna tiyufta. This is a rejection of Huna's statement that they all agree, be'emsa agag, it's puzzle, because doing it ba'aretz is equivalent to emsa agag, and there's definitely a machlokes ba'aretz, which means machlokes be'emsa agag as well. So Rav Nachman is correct, be'emsa agag, and Rav Huna is out, gave him a tziyufta. But we're not done yet. What's the question? Because if we assume that ba'aretz is like emsa agag, why do we assume that, Mo? Because be'emsa agag and the aretz both have no virtual walls to piggyback off of. Meaning, if you put it on the edge of a roof, then you have the wall where it came up to the roof that we can look at going to heavenward and hitting the schach. Without that, we have no virtual walls. We're not sure yet why it would work at all, but according to Yaakov, within the opinion of Nachman, be'emsa agag would still work. Ba'aretz is no different than be'emsa agag. Both have no virtual walls. You only have your poles. So if the poles will work, ba'aretz, then it should work be'emsa agag also. Rav Huna said that everyone would agree be'emsa agag, there is no virtual walls. It's definitely not good according to everybody. But we see Ba'aretz, there's a machlokas. Rabbi Yaakov says Ba'aretz, it works. And Ba'aretz is the same thing as saying Be'emsa Agag, and therefore Rabbi Yaakov holds kosher. So now we're going to suggest that Rabbi Yaakov, Rav Huna is definitely wrong Be'emsa Agag. And the question is he also wrong Be'al-Svas Agag? What does that mean, is he wrong? We're going to assume right now that he held his machlokas Al-Svas Agag. We're going to question now and assume that would mean maybe that everyone agrees Al-Svas Agag is kosher. That would be a rejection both about his ruling Be'emsa Agag as well as Al Svas Agag. Let's see that inside right now. This is Gemara. Leim avod beemsa hu depligi. And furthermore, the fact that they argue beemsa agag aval svas agag divrei kol ksheira, that would imply that al svas agag, everyone agrees it should be kosher. Again, it's just a diuk. We point out the machlokas they have beemsa agag. That's all we mention. We should only assume then that if it's al svas agag, everyone would agree that it's kosher because they're using the principle of kud asik mechitza. And based on that, the Gemara says, Lema to have it tiyufta to Rav Huna betarti. Let's suggest right now that we have a double knockout for Rav Huna. Again, we know for sure we have one knockout. That's Be'emtza Agag. It's not a Machlokas Kodem Rav Huna, but it is Machlokas clearly in the Gemara. And Asfas Agag, Rav Huna says Machlokas, we're going to assume that everyone agrees because we didn't point out the Machlokas Be'emtza Agag. So we assume they agree that it's a kosher. There's a Gemara. Amlech Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, listen, I give you the first one. Pligi Be'emtza Agag, I'm wrong about that one. They definitely argue Be'emtza Agag because they argue Ba'aretz. And Ba'aretz and Be'emtza Agag are the equivalent. So I'm wrong. I'll give it to you. But the same rule would apply also to Asfas Agag. Don't knock me out for both. I'm sticking to my guns that Asfas Agag, there is still a machlokas. So you may wonder, why not mention this? V'ay dekamiflagi Be'emtza Agag, that which we only point out. We only point out there's a machlokas Be'emtza Agag. Lo diach hakoch de Rabbi Yaakov, to demonstrate, to show Rabbi Yaakov's strength of his leniency. The afilu be'emtza agag nami machshir. That even be'emtza agag, we're going to say it's kosher. This is using the principle we have generally of koach de teira adif. There's a general rule that if I can point out to you a leniency, it's a much more impressive thing than a stringency. Why is that? Because anyone can be machmir. But to be lenient, to be makeup, by the way, this is not taken out of context. It's only impressive if you can back it up. But to be able to have a svara and support a leniency shows great strength. Remember one time I called my Rebbe on the phone with a question, a personal question that we had. He said to me, I don't feel comfortable enough to be makel on this one. I don't know enough. Call the author of the following sefer who maybe can be makel for you. Koch de Terah. It's more impressive for someone to figure out a way to get through a kula than to stop paskin the chumra. It's more impressive. And therefore, right now we're suggesting that it's Koch de Terah is better. Koch de Terah is adif. It's more impressive. And therefore, the Gemara here explains that the Gemara only highlights Rabbi Yaakov's leniency al svas agag, because that's the most lenient thing we could possibly, sorry, be'emtza agag, it's the most lenient thing we could possibly find. But al svas agag is not a chiddush. Be'emtza agag is a chiddush. That even be'emtza agag can find some way to be lenient. And therefore, so the Gemara says just right now, that would seem to show us, not that there's a machlokas, sorry, and they all agree in the svas agag, but it's machlokas both be'emtza agag and al svas agag. Why not mention that one also? That's not a big deal. I can show you that Rav Yaakov is Mekil, but Emtza Agag, that's the biggest deal we could possibly find. And that's what the Gemara is kind of trying to highlight over here and demonstrate. And that's how the Gemara over here is going to answer this question. Rav Yaakov is going to stick to his guns, and we could not reject Rav Yaakov, Rav Nachman, Rav Huna. We cannot reject Rav Huna in the case of Al Svas Agag. The question I asked last time, if you recall, is how come over here, how come above we left it as a teiku, and over here we made a diuk? Why don't we make a diuk over there as well? Remember I asked this question last time? Well, probably not, it was a long time ago. But I asked the question last time with this Gemara, that above when we had a single statement, we assumed, we wanted to know, teiku, what do you suggest? That it's the same machlokas exists as Asfas Agag, or we assume everyone agrees and we left it as a teiku? Why over here are we quick to make a jump, an assumption, and not assume, not be up in the air, throw our hands up in the air and say teiku? The reason why is because the prior statement came it followed the first statement. The first statement was, everyone argues here and they agree over here. And he says, everyone argues there. So we're not sure what he meant by that. Did he mean to say they argue here and there? Or they argue here and they agree there? He was following up a prior statement. We weren't sure what to read in the statement. But over here, we only said one single statement. We said one single statement, which we assumed would only mention one statement because the other statement was different than that one. And that's how we made the diuk over here in our case, even though we ended up rejecting it. Versus above, we left it as a teiku. We were very unclear what to do about it. We mentioned a few minutes ago that we weren't sure what the svara of Yaakov was, according to Rav Nachman. Why in the world would Be'emtza Agag or Al Haaretz have any reason and any rationale to say it's a kosher sukkah? The Gemara now just discusses that point. Tan Rabbanan, nuts arba kundisin. Again, you put your four pillars, Ba'aretz. V'sid al gabban. You put tzach on top. Rav Yaakov Omer. Rav Yaakov says the following. Rowan kol she'ilu yichakku v'yichalku v'yesh ben tefach l'kan v'tefach l'kan nidonin mishum diyumar, which means We look at each, again, Rashi was out of here, each one is a round pull. The fact that Yechakaku means you have to kind of carve it out, which means that it's round, and we have to make it into like a square. If you would round out the pull, and now make it like into an L, two perpendicular pieces, one going horizontal, one going vertical, and by doing so, you would find a tefach, both horizontal as well as vertical. Nidonim mishum diyumad. We're going to judge it as being diyumad. Diyu meaning two, and like amud is the pillar or the sides. We have diyumad. We have two sides. Every single corner has two sides: north, south, east, west, whichever one we're up to right now, whichever pole that we're talking about that is accounted for. And therefore, there are four poles, and each pole has two directions, a tefach in each direction, accounted for. Rashi was out of here, just like we had by Pasi B'Rosh. We haven't seen it yet, but we'll see later on, which is when you have an Hilchos Shabbos, a well in the middle of an area, we require you to have an Amma by an Amma cornered out in each section. Here it's only tefach al tefach, it's true. And Tosos points out, the Yumdi Sukkah Tefach, that when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, we're machmir to require an Amma, but it's a similar type of style. According to Rabbi Yaakov, when you're stuck in the middle of a field, of an area, or the middle of the roof, you can still kilu, you can virtually carve out the poles. If you have a tefach in each direction, you know, again, horizontal and vertical, that can be our walls for us, and we can be makil on that in the case to make a sukkah. It's not through good asik mechitza, because every single wall is accounted for in every direction, every pole we turn to. This area over here, we have a similar idea as well when it comes to Pasi B'Rosh.
Right.
But the size of a tefach over here is only by sukkah. But the concept of having directional... What's that? Right here. Right, this is the only time where Yaakov and our father said, Yaakov over here is the chiddush, so you apply it also by sukkah. The chavim don't agree. The chavim argue. Pasi B'Rosh is accepted throughout. But also it's also an amma. But over here, according to the human idea, Rabbi Yaakov suggests it, and the Chum we know argue on, as the Gemara over here says right now, Vim Lav, if there's not a tefach of each side, Eini Donim Shum Diyuma, we don't use the Diyuma principle that Rabbi Yaakov suggests. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Diyum De Sukkah Tefach, the Diyuma of the Sukkah, the two sides of the Sukkah have to be at least a tefach in size. I mentioned again that the Shabbos, it's an Amma, and Tosaf points out because it's more Machmir. However, the Chum Omerim, Ad Shiyu Shayim Gilchasim, Shiyu 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 Tefach. The Chum suggests it, not until you have two full proper walls, and the third wall, at least a tefach in size, only then will we say it works. Diyumadin do not work by the rule of sukkah, only works by the rule of Shabbos by Pasi B'Rosh. Certainly not a tefach's worth will not be enough. But if you had, again, if you had two full walls, and the third one could be a tefach, that would work according to the opinion of the Rabbana. So that brings us now to our Gemara. Just quickly to take a quick look what we have in front of us. Mo, this is for you. We have over here, again, we start off with the Dal Kundisin. We have Rabbi Yaakov says kosher, the Chacham says pasul. As to when they argue, Rav Huna says only in the middle, only on the edge of the roof. Good asking mechitza, but in the middle of the roof, everyone agrees it's pasul. Rav Nachman says no, but emsa agag in the middle of the roof is actually machlokas. We ask, how about the edge of the roof? Is it machlokas or everyone agrees it's kosher? Take what we weren't sure to say from it. We then talked about a case of doing it ba'aretz, which is equivalent to the case of doing it be'emsa agag. Machlokas Rabbi Yaakov and the Chacham, which seems to be a tiyufta for Rav Huna. We thought maybe tiyufta times two. The fact that we only mentioned Ba'aretz, which means Be'em Sagag Machlokas, we thought maybe to assume it would mean Al Sfasagag, everyone agrees is kosher, and we said not so fast. It's possible that Sfasagag is really also Machlokas, and we only mentioned the one we mentioned, because that was the idea of Korach Netera Adif, to show just how far Yaakov would go to be Mekil, even Be'em Sagag. What's this shot? How do you even get a heter like this, Be'em Sagag, or Ba'aretz? Where do you find any walls whatsoever? So we have now the introduction of the idea of the Yumad. Rabbi Yaakov holds that there's the concept of if you have a tefach on each side, it's going to act as diyumadim, and that's what allows it to go. The Chama, of course, argue, they say you cannot use diyumad, that's not a concept that we have by us in the world of sukkah, only in the world of Pasi B'Rosh by Shabbos. What's that? Okay, I don't want you to ruin the ending. And finally, we'll finish the last part of the sugya over here, the next sugya, I should say, the beginning of the next sugya, which is the sugya of the 10 tefachim. The Mishnah said, V'she'inigvo asar tefachim. We said before, it's not kosher. The number 10 tefachim, what's that basically? What's it mean, nullin? From where? What's the source of 10 tefachim? Says the Gemara, Itmar, those statement that was made, Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan. Those three, Amoraim, Rabbi Chaviva, Masnu, Bekulei, Seder, Moed, Kol, Ki, Aizuga, Rabbi Chaviva, whenever he taught throughout all of Seder Moed, like we have right now in Hilchos Sukkah, Mitzvah Sukkah. Whenever he had Seder Moed, this whole zuga means this whole grouping, this whole pairing, and it was Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Chaluv Rabbi Yochanan. He says, take out Rabbi Yochanan, Umaayli Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan is really the author of this statement, not Rabbi Yochanan. But either way, we have Rav, Rabbi Chanina, either Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yonasan, who together come up with the following conclusion. Where is Ten Tefachim from? Aron Tisha v'Chapor is Tefach, Harei Kanasara. The Aron was 9 Tefachim high, and we know from Rashi, it was Amah v'Chetzi, you know, Komaso, and an Amah we assume is 6 Tefachim, and an Amah and a half is 9 Tefachim, that's the Aron. And the Kaporis is a Tefach, which we'll see the Gemara later on, we'll say how we know that. And altogether we have 10 Tefachim. Now who cares? Ma Kesher between the Aron and the Kaporis to be 10 Tefachim, what's the Kesher between that and Sukkah? So you'll see Rabbi Yochanan on the side, and also Rashi on top of the Hayim Aleph, I'll tell you in a minute. So the Gemara, Uksiv, and it says, that I made myself known to you over there, and I spoke to you, with you, from the top of the Kaporis. Why does that help us? V'tani, we learn a brayso, Tav Hayim Aleph, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Me'olam lo yarda shechina lamata, lo alu Moshe ve'eliyahu lamarom. Never did the Shechina come below this amount. Lamata means below the Kaporis. Kaporis was 10 tefachim off the ground. The Shechina never went below that. And Moshe and Eliyahu never went within 10 tefachim to Shemayim. Why is that? What's the kesher? So Rashi points out that we see Shemamina lamal me'asar mifsika reshusa. It's a whole separate reshus, it's a whole separate area of reality that we're in once you hit 10 tefachim. We want to build the sukkah to a substantial amount to hit the next halachic reality. If it stays within an area that's beneath 10 tefachim, that means it never really left its small area in the ground and kind of bumped up into a real other area, other reality. And therefore, we have to make sure that our sukkah can be a sukkah that is considered going up to the next rishus. The Gemara here is going to point that out right now. As it says, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, the Aretz Nasa L'Bnei Adam. Shemayim is for Hashem, and the Aretz is for us. Up until 10 Tefachim. Up until 10 Tefachim, the Aretz is for us. Once we get past 10 Tefachim, we're now in a land, in a world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can rest as well. And since, maybe because the sukkah is a tzel to the Menem Husa, it's the cloud of glory, or because we just want to build a sukkah tall enough to be considered out of the rishus of the ground, whichever one you want to say, in the end of the day, it has to hit the next domain, which we assume is 10 Tefachim high, based on the Kaporis being 1 Tefach and the Aron being 9. And we know Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from the top of that area. He rested on top of those 10 Tefachim. The Gemara is going to question this idea of 10 Tefachim, both Hashem down to us and us up to Hashem, that we never intrude in each other in each other's areas. Says the Gemara, "Lo yarda Shechina lamata." The Shechina never got down below 10 Tefachim. We learned it in a pasuk. It says in the Torah, in Shmos, "But yarda Hashem al Har Sinai." It went on top of Har Sinai. Sounds like Mamash Hashem's Shechina was on Har Sinai. Does Gemara know? Lamala me'asara. It never went below asara. It hovered above 10 Tefachim. Asara Tefachim. Ivaksiv yamdu raglav b'yomahu al Har Hazesim. His legels, again, the anthropomorphism, obviously, is not Hashem's real legs, but Zechariah discussed Hashem was standing with his legs on top of Harzesim. Again, Lamala Me'asar Tvachim was above 10 Tvachim, that's not a Kasha. Says Gemara, Lo Alu Moshe Ve'Aliyah Lamaro, Moshe and Aliyah didn't go to Shemayim Vaksiv, V'Moshe Allah El Elohim. Again, no, Lamata Me'asar, that didn't hit the Shemayim area, it came up to 10 Tvachim within the Shemayim. I Vaksiv, Ayal Eliyah B'Sa'ara Shemayim, Eliyah came in a storm up to the heavens. Again, Lamata Me'asar, says the Gemara. V'Haksiv, our final question, we're going to ask, and we're going to end this part, and we're going to stop for the day. V'Haksiv, behold, does not state, Me'achez Pnei Kisei Parshez Alav Anano, which means, when he built the face of the chair, or he put the walls by the chair, he extended upon them the cloud. This is referring to in Eov. Eov is talking to one of his friends that's trying to console him, and over here he's describing the most important part of here, V'Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Rabbi Tanchum stated, Melamed Shapirei Shakai Miziv Shkinaso, Van Noah, that Hashem, Piresh, Hashem extended his Ziv Shkinaso, his glory of his Shechina, V'Anano, and a cloud, and he protected him. Allah, so we say over here, no, that was Lamata Me'asara. It wasn't that they were standing, it referred to Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way. Moshe wasn't standing in Shemayim. Hashem kind of protected him from where he was, 10 Tefachim short of Shemayim. Says Gemara, Mikol Makom, Achez Pnei Kisek, it says that he was holding on to the chair. How can you hold on to a chair if you're not there? Makes no sense at all. The chair is in Shemayim, and you're holding on to the chair, you must be in Shemayim also. Says Gemara, no. Yisharbuve, Yishtarbiv Le Kisei, Adasar V'Nakle. Yisharbuve means to extend. The chair, the bottom of the chair, the legs of the chair, extended downwards to 10 Tefachim below Shemayim. And there, Moshe Rabbeinu was Nakabe. Moshe Rabbeinu held in his hands And that's what it means that he was able to hold it. It was still outside of 10 tefachim, and that's where Moshe stood. So the bottom line is, and this is part number four we have in the chart here, Asar tefachim is equaling Moshe, the Aron of the Kapores, 9 for the Aron, which is Amma v'chetzi, every Amma is 6 tefachim, and a half is 9 tefachim, and then the Kapores is 1 tefach, Gemara later on, tomorrow we'll discuss where the 1 tefach is from. We have the Aron being 9, and the Kapores 1, and since that was an area where Hashem would go down onto, that was where the domain ended, where you're building a structure, a sukkah, you want to make sure you build it up to the next domain, so Hashem can rest himself upon our shechina of the sukkah, and that's the source for 10 tefach, and we'll continue tomorrow, where the tefach of the Kapores came from. Let's chazer.